Paul was talking with the Ephesian leaders. He reminds them that as I go, there will be wolves that will come among you. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And he warns that they will come and they will attempt to teach false doctrines and draw people away with them. And unfortunately, we have to be on guard of that. There is a lot of groups that try to say that they want an ecumenical church. And more or less, they say that we're all going to the same place, we're all on the same path. But unfortunately, Jesus has set a distinction that all roads do not lead to heaven. All religions do not lead to heaven. In fact, many were spoken against in the days of Christ. And when they fail to recognize the deity of Christ, the triune Godhead, and they fail to recognize the shed blood of the Lamb of God and the importance of it upon our salvation and redemption and restoration back to a right relationship with God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to work in and through us to make us what we ought to be and need to be, and all of these things, the very basis of Christ's teaching, when we pull away from that or deny it, then my friend, you are not on the same path. I do not hold the authority, the scriptures, the word of God, the very teachings of Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so when you walk away from the teachings of Christ, you walk away from authority, power, salvation, eternal life, and all of the above that goes along with the gospel of Christ. Are you with me, church? And so we must be a people, if you will, of the Word. And when we become people of the Word, sometimes individuals want to say that, well, you're too critical. I hope that isn't the understanding, but let's face it. Those that do not know Christ are going to feel as though we are critical when in reality, the Word tells us to be discerners of the fruit that we're looking at. Be discerners of the Word. Be discerning of the Spirit. And the Scripture warns that there's many spirits out there, but we must test each and every one, right? And what is that testing field? The Word of God. That's right. The Spirit of God will not contradict His Word. They're all the same. They don't fight against each other. They are the one true God. Amen? So as we look at these things, I want us to consider, as we look at 1 Timothy, did we get to the title yet, Marley? Go ahead and throw that out there so we are ready to go. Our Christian relationships. Are you appreciative of the relationships that you have here at church? How valuable are they to you? I've even heard some people go so far as to say that their church family was closer to them than some of their own family. Yeah, some of us fight like brothers and sisters, don't we? We fight sometimes with our siblings. We have a hard time getting along or whatever it may be. But sometimes we fight with our spiritual brothers and sisters too, don't we? Okay, you can admit it. I'm sure I irritate you sometimes. Okay, well, thank you. Sister Chris, somebody else is willing to be honest today. Thank you all for your boldness. Yes, that's right. Mark that down. When we look at the relationships that we have a lot of ups and downs. But yet when we come to God's house and we come to worship, sometimes it's easy for us to get caught up in the excitement of what God is doing. We can get caught up in thinking that, oh, this is going to go on forever. But the reality is that relationships do not just happen, do they? Relationships require, if you will, a part that we play, a commitment that we make, a submission that we do in service to one another. So folks, when we come and we encourage people to join the church, I get too often, first of all, if they are a child of God, they have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, then they become a candidate for membership here at Lindsay Lane. And that's something that if you're curious about, I would love to talk to you because we can settle that very quickly. We can get an answer to that right away. And we can get in the scriptures and find out exactly what God has for us. And once we've come to that place that we can come and join with the church, I'm going to give you a copy of something, and we're going to talk about the church and what it is. We're going to talk about what baptism is. First of all, that's identifying ourselves with Christ. We make a public profession of what Jesus has done, the transformation that has taken place within us, that we die to ourselves as being buried in the water and being lifted up to live a newness of life in Christ Jesus. We're a new person because Jesus has made us new. And so in that act of baptism, we not only identify with Christ, but we then take a step to become a part of the body of Christ, an active member committed to fulfill the Great Commission. But as that process of completing the Great Commission, we are becoming servants to one another. And so as we do, I'll give you another sheet of paper, our church covenant, that we covenant together. Now, for some reason, it seems to be falling out of favor with many churches, but why would we have to commit to a covenant? Because that's exactly what the Word of God calls us to do. As the body of Christ, we don't just come into a body of Christ and we become spectators, but we become active participants and support and the embracing, the encouraging, the uplifting as everyone else is a part of that body. Do you see what we're saying here? And as we build those relationships, we become familiar with one another. We begin to learn about one another. Now, sometimes with that comes a little bit of, a little bit of transparency sometimes. Sometimes a little accountability. Sometimes some encouragement. Sometimes discouragement because, you know, when you get around some good godly people, it's challenging, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? I'm a pastor and I'm challenged all the time by many of you. There's areas and places that I'm reminded I need to grow. I can grow and do better and seek the Lord more earnestly. And so we begin to grow in this relationship. Now, sometimes with our lives and with us growing, sometimes those worldly ideas and worldly attitudes come along with us, don't they? Let's be honest, we're human. But as we grow, we seek to set those things aside. And so as Paul is instructing Timothy, he's mentoring Timothy to come into a place that he is also going to pastor and lead the Lord's church. And he says, Timothy, you need to handle the people of God, the children of God, in such a fashion that you're showing the respect, but gaining the respect that you're deserving of. And in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first two verses, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessing of the reading of your word, the application that your Spirit will move among our hearts, to soften our hearts before you today, that we will be a family of God that is working, thriving, and growing. Lord, protect within our body, protect within us, that we will allow your Spirit and the Lord Jesus to be preeminent in all of our thoughts and our desires and our motives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Paul is instructing the attitudes in which that we will approach one another and how it is that we will grow in the work of the Lord in relationship with one another, that we do so in such a way that we give respect to one another as if we are family. And with that attitude comes respect and accountability. You know, this has been something that has I have to be grateful for my own parents, and that was drilled into my head. In fact, we kind of grew up in a small church that was very close, that it wasn't just my mom and dad that corrected me or disciplined me. I can remember Sister Nosley was one of my first Sunday school teachers, and I tell you what, she broke my heart. I don't know, I was a very energetic child. I'm told borderline annoying. I don't believe it, but you know, that's what they tell me. I was hyper. And in Sunday school, sometimes I didn't want to listen. And Sister Nosley sent me upstairs. I wasn't about to go upstairs. I'd have been in trouble. That's just the way it goes, you know. It was good for me. But you know what I did? I went to the steps, and I sat there and bawled. Because I did, I know I was in trouble. And you know what's funny is my dad heard me down there crying. And he didn't even come down there. Oh, yeah, there was no consoling going on. I still got in trouble when I got home. And you know what? I didn't act up in Sister Nosley's class anymore after that. When we think of those things, I was crying because I was upset, but I was crying because I disappointed her. She gained my respect so deeply that it's kind of one of those when your grandma gets onto you and you just melt. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know? Grandpa gets mad at you, you're just running for your life. Can you relate? Now, I say that jokingly. My grandpa never harmed a hair on my head, but I was corrected when I needed it, and for my good. You know, we begin to grow as a family because we have accountability to one another. And that grew up, I grew up in that church with a respect for everyone in that building. Now, were there some that didn't do a very good job? Yes. In fact, some of the friends I had, I went home with them, and things just weren't that great in the home. And so I didn't always go over there, you know. But yet we continued to show respect, right? We continued to show respect. And, you know, that bled over into my ministry. Our elders have always been my top-notch people. Why? They've earned it. Now, are there some elders that are of a place of worthy of double honor, or worthy of the highest respect? Some are working on that. But whether they're worthy of it or not, they get my respect. I handle them differently. And can I tell you, not to brag, but yet this opened doors that would not have been able to be opened in any other way. Would you agree? When you're approached with respect, how quick and how ready we are to receive what's being said. Young people, you're not getting this taught in society. You're not being taught this online and different things. But can I tell you, so many people today want to be renowned. They want to be world changers. They want to be influencers. That's even the title of those that are online, right? Influencers. My friend, if you want to be an influencer, you have to be able to influence the hearts of people. And you don't wow them. You don't awe-inspire them. You respect them. And they feel and know that they're safe to respond to you. Do you understand that? You will never go wrong by esteeming those who are worthy of that respect. You'll never go wrong. And as I said, some deserve it, some they're working on it, but give the respect anyway. That way, you're not going to be held accountable for failing in that part. But you will move the hearts of people. You will ingrain them. They will be by your side when you respect those who are worthy. So when we deal with one another, we deal with the older men. Why is it that we would not receive a rebuke? Can I just be honest with you? Let the elders take care of the details. Let the pastor work with the elders and take care of the details. Because often there are things that are intertwined with decisions and rebukes that must be handled in a godly way, in a loving way, and in a biblical way. And there must be follow-up. There must be things that are discussed that sometimes doesn't need to be out in the open. Are you with me? You ever wonder why in Matthew 15 it tells us if you're offended to go to that one privately, right? Well, why would you do that? I'd rather yell in the whole congregation. I want everybody to know what they did to me. That's exactly what you don't do if you want to restore a relationship. Galatians chapter 5. My first point is you are free to do good. You are free to do good. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You know, when you look at that word liberty, we are free to choose. When the Lord Jesus has saved us, we have made there's been a transformation within our lives. We now have the opportunity to say no to sin and say yes to follow Christ. You know, before salvation, you don't have that opportunity. You don't even know what is good. You don't even know what is right. All you know is, I just want to do what I want to do. And that's all there is to it. But then the Word of God speaks against us. The Word of God warns us that we must not do what we think is good, but do that which is right in the eyes of God. That is what's good. And He defines what is good. At the time of salvation, we confess. We confess that we've not done good, but He is good. And so therefore, God, save me and help me to follow You and obey. So then we are called into liberty in Christ. Now that freedom, true liberty by definition, and I think the world needs to take notice of this, true liberty is living as we should, not as we please. Are you with me, church? This would solve so many things within our own nation, our own society, is that, yes, I'm free to do anything I want, but it doesn't mean your neighbor's going to like it, right? Well, what do I care? You should care, because that's your mission field, amen? And so it is in the body of Christ. In fact, Paul was even talking to those in Corinth, the church of Corinth. He says, I'm free to do all things, but not all things are expedient. Well, what does that mean? They're not helpful, is what that translation of expedient in the King James is. It's not helpful. So often I talk with people and we find ourselves in situations that they say, well, I'm just going to tell them how it is. Okay, is that going to be helpful? I don't care if it is or not. I'm going to give them my mind. Well, you know, bless your heart. Aren't you just a helpful thing? When you're working behind the scenes, trying to pull the pieces, pick the pieces up, pull people back together, you got this guy running around with a sledgehammer just smashing everything he can get a hold of. Well, it's the truth. Well, grow up. You don't use the truth as a baseball bat. You use the truth as a scalpel and a needle to try to heal and stitch things back together. Amen? That is the goal, to restore where we can and as we are able. You are free to do good, not just any old thing you please. Amen? Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. It doesn't give you just a free rein and you slap a title of truth on it and then commence into smashing and tearing and causing division in the church. So how do we use this freedom? We use it as we have in Christ, that He has drawn us to Himself. We do so lovingly as He has drawn us. We are to use that freedom to build others up, investing in each other. The church is not a personal platform for you to use others to benefit yourself. It is a place that you use to encourage for the benefit of everyone else. Does that not make sense? We are building relationships. We are called to do ministry together. And guess what? That gets messy. Now, some of you know that I'm talking about you, but so many times I hear, well, I just want to work on my own. I know that. There were times when my kids would come down and I'm trying to make something. Dad, can we help? This is going to be a complete disaster. And they did. I'd be working on something for half an hour and they'd smash it in about 2 minutes. Every time. Ah, oh, just aggravate me to death. But my dad taught me something. He said, the more time you spend with them now, the more time they will spend with you when you're older and you need it. It's true. Church, we're not going to grow if you don't invest in somebody else. I know it's annoying. You're all annoying, okay? Admit it. I'm glad you all took that so well. I had it in my notes. Say this line and duck. Yeah. I'm teasing. I didn't have it there. I've just feeling brave for the moment. Spiritual boldness there, come out. We all are, aren't we? We all have those quirks. But my friend, if we don't grow through those, how are we going to plant another church? How are we going to disciple others? How are we going to continue to reach out to those around us if we're not building the relationships that are necessary for service and ministry here and now? Secondly, we must love from a pure heart. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, 1 Peter 1:22, he tells us, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." What is fervently? Earnestly, intensely, it is seen in action. Lip service can only go so far, right? You know, the scripture says that if a brother comes to you and he has need and you have the means to fill that need, then you do so right then. Don't send them away if you've got the means to take care of it right then and there. How do you know that the Lord hasn't sent the one to you? Because he's provided you with all that you need to provide the need for your brother or sister that they have need. It's a perfect circle of service and ministry to one another. And God prepares us for those things. He gives us those abilities. Josh, you finally get up here and play your harmonica. And we are hungry for those opportunities to be encouraged and lifted up. And we say, wow, I didn't even know he could do that. Well, that's pretty inspiring. I got an old instrument in the closet. I might break it out. Come on. Do you see the inspiration that comes? Do you see the responsibility to one another? And when we do that with the right motivation, with the right intent, that we do so from a pure heart. What is that pure heart? Well, I'm glad you asked me. That pure heart is clean. It's free of sin. It's no guilt. It is sincere. It's genuine. It's blameless. It's innocent. Wow, that's a pretty tall order, isn't it? Here, I just thought I had to mean it. Be nice about it. No, it goes much deeper, doesn't it? Folks, let me tell you something, that as we begin to work together, we begin to examine our hearts, because this is the very basis of where service and ministry comes from. I want you to think about this, is that as you think, as you are in your private life, so you will be and bring with you to the body of Christ. Think about that. As you are personally, you will bring with you to the body of Christ. And so that's why God is telling us to examine your heart. Is your motive right? Is your intent right? Are you looking to take advantage? Are you looking to manipulate? Are you looking to just get a satisfaction of yourself and get the praise and the accolades that you want at the expense of others? Now, I know that we would not say that out loud, but my friend, I think when we begin to examine our hearts, we begin to realize I can love others much more sincerely. Because what's our goal? Is to love as Christ has. To love that way Jesus did. He did so purely. And can I express to you that those false gospels that are out there, and they try to claim that Jesus had a relationship with these different women in the Bible, that I want to scream and I want to attack, because they're attacking and defaming the purity of Christ. They're defaming the purity of love, that when he went to that cross, he didn't go with manipulation in his heart. He didn't go with sin in his heart. He didn't go with any failure, any weakness, but he went to the cross with a perfect love, and he carried out perfect love to provide salvation for us, which is a perfect salvation, a perfect sacrifice, and a perfect life that could be given. You understand that? Don't attack Jesus. And you know what's so great is that he doesn't need me to defend him, because he is perfect. And all those foolish claims are just going to burn up one day, and the truth will remain. Here he is. He loved you perfectly and you rejected him. Now you're guilty. That's a terrible thing to face, but you can change that now by accepting him as your Savior. Lastly is protecting the flock. Pastors are shepherds. We shepherd. We are under shepherds, under the one true shepherd, which is Christ. We're under shepherds. We shepherd the flock that we are called to oversee and to protect. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 30, the pastors are given instruction of how that they would oversee the body of Christ. He says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." It's easy to see your pastor being the loving, supporting, and the encourager, is it not? But it's not always comfortable when you see your pastor coming down on something, a topic or an individual, and it seems harsh. But it's our job. It's our job. And can I tell you, it is not my favorite. I don't like it. In fact, if the Lord and the Spirit didn't push me to do it, I'm a weak man. But the Lord reminds us of the value of his body. Remember he says, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. The body of Christ is valuable, and we should treat it as such. Your actions, your motives, the relationships you're building is all based upon the value of what Jesus has done for us and has made possible for us. Amen? The unity doesn't come because you're such a great person, I'm the great pastor. It doesn't come together because of that. Unity comes because we surrender to the Spirit of God and we allow Him to use us in service to Him. And as we do so, we serve one another to uplift one another, to build the kingdom of God, and simply be a light, a lighthouse here in the Florissant area. That is the unity that brings us together because we have one common goal. And that's the Lord Jesus, right? And to love as he has loved us. And as we do so, we are, as pastors, to protect from false teachings, false doctrine, and also from those that are in the church that look to take advantage or manipulate and draw others away to fulfill their own plan. Folks, this goes for teachers, deacons, or just the common church member. Amen? If you've got your own plan and you're looking to divide the church, if you're looking to make a plan against the pastor, my friend, you may have good intentions, but you're going about it completely biblically wrong. We come together under the Word. We come together under the authority of the Word. We come together by seeking the leadership of Christ and the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. And you're going to find over and over that when God is leading in it, and others come to you, and they begin to share, the Lord's just really been on my heart, and he's wanting me to, I don't know what to do with it, Pastor. I'm thinking I know what to do because I've been praying for this for months and maybe years. And now you're here. Now you're here. We're on the same page. Why? Because God works in that way. But if you set your heart and your mind against a pastor that is faithfully serving, is biblically serving, you need to seek the Lord's guidance and not your own motivations. Folks, I'm telling you, if there's ever a thing that you are concerned about, you come and talk to me. I'm not that scary. I want to know. And in fact, sometimes as an overseer of the church, it's my responsibility to know what's going on in people's lives. That's why I call you. That's why I check on you. That's why I try to throw text at you in any way just to get some feedback. How are you doing? Are you okay? I talk with your family. Is everything okay? Everybody doing all right? How can I help? What can I do? And I don't know until you tell me. Sometimes you have questions about the Bible. Sometimes you have questions about the church. You don't come talk to me. You don't ask me, how can I help? That's what I'm here for. Sometimes you're upset with me. Do you realize you can come talk to me too, even when you're upset? Be nice to me. Don't make me cry. But we need to know. Because sometimes the things that you are angry about may be a misunderstanding, a misrepresentation, or maybe you just have the wrong thought in your mind and automatically assume, I don't like you. You need to come and ask me to make sure that that's not just a feeling, but it's real. Some years ago, my one deacon at Ozark Heights. We only had one deacon at the time. And elderly man, just love him and respected him, and just what a blessing he was to me in the pastorate there. And I come over and visit him as I had done regularly, and the deacon's wife, she come to me and said, "You need to talk to your deacon." And I go, "Uh-oh, what's going on?" And he says, "You upset him, but he didn't hear it right in your message. So he needs to talk to you about it. He don't want to, but he needs to." So as soon as you walk in their home, Sister Mary, she's always making apple pie and a cup of coffee, and she's getting things ready. And so I go in the living room, and I go, "Brother Bob, what I do?" And he gets a big grin on his face. He said, "I didn't like what you said in your message." I go, "Uh-oh, what did I do?" And so I listen. I listen to all of it. And there was a scripture verse in there that he thought I was saying one thing and I meant to complete different. And so I went right back to that verse. We got the Bible out. And I said, "This is what I was talking about. This is what I meant to communicate. I didn't mean to communicate that." "Okay. Yeah, I can see that." And then Mary comes in with pie and coffee and says, "I told you, Bob." You know, coffee and apple pie always softens a tough conversation. Where would our relationship have been if he didn't come and just say, "Hey, I didn't like that"? You know what? Sometimes we just need to be man or lady enough to say, "Let's just talk about it and put this behind and make this right." Amen? Relationships are worth it. The ministry of Lindsay Lane Missionary Baptist Church is worth it. The lost that need to hear the gospel are worth it. We must do our part. And as a pastor, I will seek to protect the flock. There have been some tough decisions that we've had to make in the past. And after much prayer and research and talking with my deacons, we had to make a tough decision. But we know it was the right one. I don't ever want to make that again. So let's build our relationships with a pure heart. Let's build our relationships based upon the respect and utmost respect for one another. You can never go wrong by putting someone ahead of yourself. You can never go wrong by going to the back of the line. You can never go wrong with letting others have their way, even when you're itching to get involved. Because you know what happens is that when you make others first, they spot you. They know your heart. And then the congregation pushes you forward. Am I right, church? We notice those who are spirit-led. We notice those who are faithful. We take notice of those who truly love us, and we push them to the front. Oh, so many times in ministry, there are some that are, "I think I ought to be first. I've been here longest. I have the right." Yep, you will be the last one I will call. Not in the Lord's church, right? That's what he told his disciples. You don't take this authority and lord it over each other and who's going to be first and who's going to be last. Those who are last will be first in the kingdom of heaven. That's why I fight for the back of the line when we eat. You all thought I was being nice. It seems difficult at times to address a sin or a problem in the church, but when it's done biblically, when we've sought the Lord, it comes as a time of humility, repentance, and strengthening. Did you know that there is an enemy out there right now who is seeking you as a lion is hunting down a deer, to kill it, to maim it, to destroy it, and devour it? You know what, folks? Sometimes I think that we have a hard time of understanding when the scripture describes Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, not just kind of cripple. You ever watch a cat mess with a prey? They're cruel, aren't they? We've had cats many times, and out, you know, being out in the country, they always bring a mole or a squirrel and lay it at the front door for you when you come out that day and they got something killed. But when you catch them when they're playing with it, it's the most cruel thing you've ever seen. The little thing could be squealing and screaming, and it'll have one claw hooked into its skin and it can't get away. And it's got it maimed just enough that it can't run away, and it just toys with it and then it chews it to pieces. I think that we have been so comfortable as a nation and as a country that we really don't know what a real threat is. We've had some threats here not too long ago. You know, we think of 9/11, and now Israel's been under a great threat, and, you know, a lot of things that are going on, and people wanting to take sides here or there, but One thing we need to understand that there's always going to be unrest in the Middle East until the Antichrist comes. He's going to establish a temporary peace that will start the tribulation period. It will last for 3.5 years, and then the Antichrist will go into the temple in Jerusalem, and he will defame it. He will destroy it. And then it will be the very start of the great tribulation. And the wrath of God will be poured up on the earth. Destruction will come like never before. That is what Israel is headed for. But none of the nations today will overcome it, because even at the time of the Antichrist, he will try to destroy her and God won't allow it. Friend, we fight an enemy and we shouldn't feel too comfortable. We shouldn't be too complacent. And building in relationships can sometimes be the most difficult. But when we follow the biblical example, you're free to do good. Don't use that freedom to do wrong. We're allowed to love, but we do so from a pure heart. And we do so to protect one another. Some of you might be thinking, well, what kind of invitation is this going to be? Maybe there's some questions that you have in your own heart that you need answers to. The pastor has given you an open door invitation. You don't feel comfortable talking, or maybe it's too much to talk about today. All you got to do is just set up an appointment. I will be there in any way that I can. Some of you as church members are thinking, man, I don't want anything to happen to my church family. Good. First of all, ask the Lord, what can I do to strengthen a relationship that I have here at Lindsay Lane? And secondly, let's ask the Lord's protection. We like to think that we can fight Satan on our own, but we can't. We can only do it by following the Spirit of God and having the spiritual discernment that we need to find those weaknesses. Let's ask the Lord to guide us and protect us and help us to see how we can grow. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, who is that person that just keeps coming to me and seems to be so interested in me that I'm not investing in? Lord, what is it that I have that others seem interested, but I just haven't taken the time to teach them, to share with them what I know? Sometimes we hinder or hesitate because we think that, well, I'm just not as good as somebody else. God didn't tell you to be perfect like somebody else. I shared with you about Pastor Mike, how inspirational he is, what a challenge he is. But you know what? I wasn't called to be Pastor Mike. I was called to be me. And the same for you. You're just called to share what you do know. What is it that you know that you could invest in others? Building the relationships that God has given and placed right here in front of it. Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for wisdom, protection, and strength to do what is right and to watch over all the flock of God? I'm going to lead us in our closing prayer in this service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. There's times that it encourages our hearts, it strengthens us, but also sometimes it just corrects us, pulling us closer to the will and purpose that you have for each and every life. But Lord, we know that it all comes together at the cross of Christ, the gospel. We are here to share the words of life. We are here to go to those that are lost. We're here to minister to those around us. But Lord, we must be unified. We must be strengthened. We must be faithful to you in our relationships here at home as well. I thank you for the spirit that you allow us to have, that as you pull us together in so many ups and downs that Lindsay Lane has endured just in the last few years, we thank you for strengthening us through those times. We thank you for the relationships that continue to grow deeper and deeper. But Lord, we do pray for your protection and strengthen us, that we'll be able to spot those things that are trying to draw us away from Christ, that we'll have the ability to discern, but most of all, that we will stay close to your heart, and that we'll love each other with the heart that you have loved us with. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.